Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 4. If I were to use or say the word sacrifice, if I were to say the word sacrifice, what's the first thing we think of? Having to give something up, right? Isn't that a self-centered view of sacrifice? Have you ever thought about that? Because sacrifice, there's two sides to it. If I'm sacrificing it, it's there for someone else. So instead of thinking of the blessing, we're thinking of the loss. And when we do that, it's a very self-centered view of that. That understanding, it's a heart issue. And that's exactly what this passage deals with as we continue our series on faith profiles when we look at Abel. Hebrews 11, chapter 4, says this. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, he is dead. Though he is dead, he still speaks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Abel and the fact that he's still speaking, even though he's gone on to be with you. And Father, I pray this morning that as we dig into this, that you will guide our heart and mind, that you will speak to us, that we will understand what's happening here. And we pray that we will learn the lessons from Abel. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we have the Hall of Faith. And the first guy mentioned is Abel. Well, what happened that he's talking about? We're going to be in Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. So that we can get some context on what God is talking about here. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, so the man is Adam. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain had told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Cain and Abel. And Father, I pray that as we draw from here, as we draw from these, from your passage today, I pray that you will reveal what's true. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so we find here that Abel is listed in the Hall of Faith, and we see what's happened between him and his brother. So Eve gives birth to Cain and Abel. So these two are brothers. We don't know if they're identical twins, and we don't know if they're fraternal brothers, but they're brothers, nonetheless. And so she gives birth to them. And we learn here that Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. Both of them are fine jobs, if you will. And we know that one of the commands that God gave Adam and Eve was to till the ground. So the idea that, and we're going to dig into this in a minute, but the idea that it had to do with the sacrifice itself kind of falls apart because part of the reason where God had preference to one or the other. We learn that in time they each brought an offering to the Lord. Cain brought of the first fruits of the ground, and Abel the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. So they had understood at some point that they needed to sacrifice to God. They needed to give and bring that before the Lord. So time had passed. There is a period of time in these verses that takes place from birth to having jobs. That doesn't happen within the first few weeks, as much as you parents would like that. There's some time that goes by. And they are taught about sacrificing to God. Well, God has regard for Abel and his offering, but does not for Cain and his. And we're going to talk here in a little bit about why one was accepted versus the other. So stay with me. That's a big argument today, or I've heard so many different things on this, and I'm going to share the different ideas that are out there. So we have this conflict that brews because God accepts one and not the other one. And he tells them, so he begins to address Cain. And he says, Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So there's a spiritual element that enters in to sacrifice, right? For sacrificing unto the Lord. Which we all talk about is our service. We talk about that in Romans 12, which is our reasonable. Present your bodies a living, which is your reasonable worship. That's just what's reasonable. And so we have to be careful where we put ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. The decisions we make when we're serving the Lord matter. And so Cain tells Abel about this interaction with the Lord and goes out and kills his brother Abel in the field. You know, this story could have been from the book of Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, right? And so we have this conflict that comes, but it comes out of what we would call a religious opportunity, a religious service, a religious ministry. And it cost Abel his life. But Abel makes the hall of faith where Cain doesn't. And so it begs the question, why did God accept Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's? Not Cain or his sacrifice. Because they each brought of the first. This question has been debated. I have heard it as well. One was a blood sacrifice. You ever heard that one? And this is what God accepts. He demonstrated it when he covered Adam and Eve in animal skins in the garden. Where Cain's was not, it was of the fruit of the ground. Now we know from the law that God required sacrifice of the fruit of the ground in part of the temple or the tabernacle worship. So why would God require something that he's not accepting here? I have heard that this is a heart issue. That it was all about, well, one had a right heart and the other one didn't. So it all has to do with heart. Well, verse 4, the answer is, it's so simple, it's right in front of us. Have you guys heard those arguments? Is this new for anybody? Have you guys heard those? I've been on both sides of that. But then I realized that the scripture tells us why God accepted one versus the other one. It's not a trick. The key to understanding this question is in the first two words of Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel presented a more excellent sacrifice. It was his, because Abel had faith and Cain did not. See, religious service that is about us or not led by God does not please him. Without faith, we're going to learn in verse 6, it's impossible to please God. And it was the faith of Abel that allowed him and his sacrifice to be accepted. How does righteousness come to us today? Is it by works that we do? Or is it imputed? It's imputed based upon our faith. So when he sacrificed, when Abel sacrificed from the first that he had because of faith, by faith he did it. That's what God said is acceptable to me. It's right here. It's right in the passage. Listen, we can do all the godly things we want. Oh, I'm going to go do this for God. I'm going to do great things for God. But if God hasn't led you to that, if God hasn't led you to that ministry or that service, God's not going to have respect for it. Listen, it's only genuine faith that God pays attention to. Genuine faith, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I'm giving you the best that I have and I'm trusting you. Well, I've got to do this, so I'm going to go get over there and give God this fruit that came out. You think God has regard for one of those or the other? I don't know that Cain did that. But I know that if he had done it by faith, his name would be here too. Because that's what these guys had that set them apart. And so your work becomes acceptable to God when he has you. See, it's about us following him and serving in obedience to him, not trying to come up with some way to please him. Listen, you already please him. Well, you don't know what my life is like. And we start thinking about the things of our life where we've made mistakes or areas we struggle. And we go, well, that's not, so my life can't be pleasing. How many of you love your kids? Most of the time. How many of your kids ever do anything wrong? How come the hands were higher on that one? Does that change how you love them, though? You just know there's something you have to address, right? We're getting some help from the kids in the back. It doesn't change because of your kids. So see, God is already, we understand it. But we don't ever apply it to God. We're so used to being accepted based on what we do or not do. Work, home, growing up. Be a good boy and do this. Be a good girl and do that. So what we do makes us good or bad. And we believe that. And we translate that spiritually and it doesn't translate spiritually. And so it was by faith that the difference came. It was by faith that his sacrifice was accepted. And what it means to be led by faith and to act in faith is to hear the voice of God and respond to him. Faith is not just, yeah, I believe God. I know he can do it. I'm confident. I know God will hold me up if I get out on that water. I know it. God, could God do that? Absolutely. If this room was filled with water, I could walk on top of it. Have I exhibited any faith yet? Not yet. It's when my faith turns to action and I step out on that water. Or it's when my belief turns to action that faith conceives. That's what the book of James talks about. You cannot separate faith and action because faith is the action. Well, isn't it just trusting God and believing God? No. It's not. That's part of it. That's what leads you to the moment of exhibiting faith. Well, God has led me here, and I believe that, and I bring this in reflection and in gratitude to God. That's acting in faith. But if I don't do that, I don't have faith. That's what James says. And so we see the impact. What comes of Abel's faith? Abel's choice to live by faith proved that he was righteous. See, this is, we don't do things to become saved. It's evidence that he was, it's evidence that he had already put his faith in Christ. It's evidence that he walked with God. It's evidence that he was completely sold out to him. When we walk in faith and we make a decision to take a stand for Christ and fade the heat when it comes, it's an evidence of our relationship with Christ, and that's faith, or genuine faith. We want to talk about it as faith expressed. And that would mean that there's some faith that's not expressed, and that's not true. I have no faith that is not expressed by action, because the action is the faith. And so it was evidence. He was already saved. The value in our service to the Lord is the exercise in our faith in Him. You know, there's a difference in serving God and serving God by faith. Most people will say, well, this is what I'm comfortable with. I can do that for God. I'm okay with that. And so this is where I'm comfortable serving the Lord. Now, if God has led you to those things and you're comfortable because of your confidence in Him, then great. Then you're walking in faith. But if God is leading you to other things that really scare the pants off you, come on, you guys use that phrase all the time. Would you rather me say scare the pants off or scare you to death? It scares us. We go, I don't know, but I can't do that. Have you ever felt led by God to do something you know you couldn't do? Hallelujah. Well, don't you want to be a part of something that only God can do, and if He doesn't come through, it's going to fall on His face anyway? Be careful, Pastor, because either God is going to deliver or He's not. If God leads us to something, He's either going to come through or He's not. And if He's not, we're wasting our time. We all could be in bed. Thank you for not saying amen. See, we live in a time that faith and church is all about us instead about Him. If you look across the websites in America about churches, they're all talking about how they serve you. And most of us remember John Kennedy's comment at his inauguration, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask yourself what you can do for your country. And we've got into a self-centered, remember we talked about sacrifice when we started? That's what we're dealing with. We think about our own little world and our own little self area and how this affects me, and it's all about me and my religion. And my faith in Christ is about me. And as long as I'm comfortable, I'm okay. And it costs me to sacrifice. But you know what? When you don't, it costs the person God intends to bless through your sacrifice. So it's going to cost somebody. You're like, well, that's okay because that ain't me. Is it okay? Because you're going to miss the blessing. You miss the opportunity to participate. And so walking in faith is hearing the voice of God and saying, yes, I'm going to do it, and I don't have any idea how it's going to turn out. That was the reason in the explanation in the conversation I had with Paul when we let Pearl Haven Ministries share. Because he had a good job at Dell for years, decades. And God told him, that's enough, now it's time to come do this. And he walked away from it. And then he prayed that he would have the health, because he knew if he was going to be over in a foreign land that the medical care wouldn't be the same, and he had a heart attack. And so they fixed all the problems. So God delivered on his prayer.
You go, wow. I don't know if I want to walk in this faith thing. Walking in faith does not guarantee you're going to have a heart attack. Just so you know. But it's not this little thing where God is our servant errand boy. We are called to serve Him, ladies and gentlemen. Not Him, us. He served us on the cross. That is done. Complete. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's our turn. It's our turn to say yes to Him, even if it costs us our very life. So if you want to have an impact on this world beyond your death, your actions must emanate from your faith. And when they do, God will continue to use your story in the lives of others even after you're dead. How many of you can know some, by name, some wonderful saints who've gone on to be with the Lord who are a great example to you? Look at that. Amazing. It's true, isn't it? And your name could be the one that's in the generation that's coming. Or in this generation and here today. You say, well, I don't have anything, and I don't, you know, I love the people that say that. Because when God uses them, nobody has an anticipation that anything great's going to come. I think that's why God uses everyday folks. Because, you know, if we brought somebody in here with tons of money and tons of connections, we'd say, oh, wow, what would we think? We'd think God could really use them. Mm-hmm. You think so? How come God could use them more than He could use you? Well, they have resources. Isn't God our resource? See, our mind is backwards. But we think the other way initially. If God is everything we need and He calls us to do something that's beyond our comprehension, don't you think He's going to provide that? Because He is the provision. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to Him. That person that has access to all that is no different than you. I want you guys to start praying for $1 million. And tell God, I'm going to give it away. All of it. 100% of it. Are you willing to be used that way? How fun would that be? How fun would it be, even if I've got nothing left? Even if I'm poor and broke, but I get to give it away. Terry may not agree. And I can give it away. How great would that be to bless and touch that many people? We're so self-centered that we can't walk in. We pin ourselves down to not being able to walk in faith. Listen, if you love the Lord and want to impact others, we have to live by faith. People don't want another religious rule set. Anybody here enjoy rules? We like freedom, don't we? Give me freedom or give me death. Well, Jesus said, if I've set you free indeed. But that freedom, it's freedom to serve Him. It's freedom from the idea that we've got to do certain things to be acceptable to Him or to somehow achieve heaven. He's already done that for us for a purpose. And so how can we live in faith like Abel did? See, they were both serving God, weren't they? They both brought a sacrifice. I don't want to be in the Cain camp. I want to be in the Abel camp. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. And that's what made it better, his faith. So how can we live like Abel? Here's where I start to make up words for you. Are you ready? Be teachable and leadable. Be teachable and leadable. We talked about that this morning. We're pretty convinced in the things we believe, right? But some of that has been adjusted over time as God's Word reveals itself. And that's what it means to be teachable. Being leadable can be harder. Because we want to be the master of our own destiny. We don't want nobody telling us what to do. We live in a country
and in a generation and time in history that promotes and celebrates that. And we are called not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the reason is because the world wants to conform us, and it's constantly working to do that. And if we're going to be leadable, we have to be submissive. You know, when we talk about being submissive, it's almost always with husbands and wives. Let me tell you something. We as God's people need to all be in submission to Him. And I'll tell you something, guys. You'll never have submission from your wife if she knows you're in submission to the Lord. And He's leading you. And she can see the evidence of God's hand in your life. You'll never have that problem. You don't have to, if you have to beat it out of somebody, like force it, it ain't submission. That's called compliance. Submission is a choice. And it can never be extracted. It is always a gift. And when your wife, and listen, ladies, when you give your man that gift, there is a huge weight that comes upon our heart. Guys, you guys know what I'm talking about. Because the responsibility now falls to us to do the right thing and take care of you. But we have to be teachable and leadable. Arrogance and skepticism will not lead you to where you need to be in your walk with the Lord, nor will they give you an opportunity for a lasting spiritual legacy. Well, I've got everything figured out, or yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. And I've got a little, I'll be honest, I'll confess, I've got a little bit of that. When I hear new things, I have a little bit of apprehension on the side of skepticism. But if you show me in the Scripture, I'm going to submit. If you show me in the Scripture and it's contextual, and it comes out of, it's not proof texted, I will submit to that. Because does anybody in here have perfect knowledge? Let's start up here. Did I have perfect knowledge? The answer to that is no, if you're wondering. I'm still learning and seeking, but you know what? I think that's a good, because that makes me both teachable and leadable. It's important as a mark of not a pastor, but a Christian. We don't know it all, and He knows best where we should be. We don't know it all, and He knows best. Either we trust Him or we don't. So be teachable and leadable. Look for opportunities in everyday circumstances to live in faith. These subtle moments are our opportunities to be used by God. They're around us all the time. Things come up. Somebody makes a comment. How many of you ever heard somebody make a little aside comment that sounded spiritual or opened a door into their spiritual life? It was just a comment. But our radar went off. Our spiritual radar went ding, 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 ding. Mine makes sounds. I don't know about yours. And so we see that and we go, I need to take that opportunity. And then what happens is when you see that and you see the opportunity, almost always we get nervous, right? Well, what are they going to think? Are they going to think I'm a Jesus freak? Are they going to do this? And we start going through all these scenarios and we're afraid we're going to offend them. And you know what? The biggest offense is going to be one day when they stand before the Lord and you haven't told them. That's a greater offense than telling them now. And so look for them to live by faith. Don't miss out. They're around you all the time. How do we live in faith like Abel did is we be teachable and leadable. We look for opportunities in the everyday circumstances of life. And we say yes when God speaks to us. Well, how do I know if God is speaking? Well, if you think God is leading you, and what you're hearing in your spirit will be a blessing for the other person, then act on it And watch how God begins to confirm his moving in your life. If you think God is leading you, and you know it'll be a blessing to them, act on it and see what God does with it. Not everybody's going to react positive. You know, you can do it perfect and people can reject you. Do you know that? We're so worried about how we do it. Did Jesus do it perfect? Did they reject him? They put him to death. Parents do this all the time with their kids. Well, they carry their kids' decision as a result of themselves. I want you parents, I'm going to set your minds at ease. You can be a perfect parent, and your kid can still do the wrong thing. And it's not a reflection of you. My parents are so relieved at this moment. Who was Adam and Eve's parents? It's not a trick question. God. Did he do it perfect? Did they still blow it? All right, parents. There you go. We each have to answer for our own decisions. So if you think God's leading you, say yes and watch how he works. Don't get caught up in putting on a religious facade. That's what was going on with Cain. I'm going to do all these religious things, but I don't have a real relationship. I never came to a place in my life where I turned my life over to Christ. Let me tell you something. The Bible says you are born in sin. You're not born in salvation. You're born again in salvation. You weren't always with God from the time you were born. That's not a biblical view. I was born in sin. My parents did not have to teach me to be a bad boy and to do the wrong things. They had to teach me to do the right things, and which was a heavy lift. But there came a time in my life that God confronted me and said, "You're lost." It's not about the good things or being a good person. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And in that moment, you're saved and safe for all eternity. All you have to do is receive the free gift of salvation. Then obedience follows because of what he did in your life. And so it's time to stop walking a religious facade and walk in genuine faith. That's what we're being called to. And there's a reason that he's calling us out in faith and sending us into this series, because faith is critical. You can play church all you want all over America today, and genuine faith is disappearing from this planet, or at least in America. We don't stand for what we believe. We compromise it because for the sake of not offending other people. Jesus said, "I did not come to necessarily bring harmony. I came to bring a division between mother and father, or between father and son." And what he was talking about, and that it's in Matthew, is he's talking about when people come to faith in Christ, and those that don't know him, there is no fellowship between light and darkness. And so when somebody walks in faith, there's naturally division. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to minimize that by not standing for what we believe. And it's time that we stand up, ladies and gentlemen. It's time that we say, enough, and I'm going to stand for this. And if it costs me money, if it costs me relationships, if it costs me time, I'm not going to compromise Jesus Christ. We're being lulled into submission to the world instead of called into submission of Christ. And we need to be careful, because it's creeping in the understandings of, well, you don't understand, but I've got to do this or I've got to do that. We'll come into our lives. Well, I can't offend my friend who's doing the wrong thing, who's stealing from his employer, because I'm afraid I'll lose him. And we don't tell him, because we think that it's better to keep the relationship. Let me tell you something. If somebody will come out of a relationship with you for telling the truth than not in a relationship with you. If you have to change who you are to be liked by somebody, then they don't like you. You know, a man who wrote this about himself, he was asked to speak at a cemetery by a Civil War group in Arkansas. And he was still fresh out of California. He was about 25 years old. And he did not read the situation correctly. He prepared a very stirring speech with lots of quotes, mostly from Abe Lincoln and other notable Yankee people. And after the service was over, he discovered it was a Confederate Memorial Day service sponsored by the Sons of the Confederacy. So he didn't understand the moment. And it gets worse. Having never heard of the organization, his attempt to make an excuse didn't really smooth things over either. He said, "Sons of the Confederacy, I thought you all were dead." You go, what does that have to do with the sermon? I'm going to tell you. I think in Christianity today, that's what we do with God. We try to give God what we think He wants instead of listening to Him and understanding Him. He is our audience, not the people around us. And we've done the same thing as this man. Well, I'm going to make this wonderful. I'm going to create this wonderful thing. And that's not who God is or what God wants. And it's time to listen. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing can only come by, this is scripture, folks, the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and it's not listening. That's not what I'm saying. And hearing can only come by the Word of God. So when the Word of God comes, I have hearing. Now that I have hearing of God, from God and His Word, then faith can come because it's based upon the Word of God, not based upon what Mark thinks. Because faith cannot exist that violates the Word of God. That's not faith. And Abel came to God in faith when he offered his sacrifice. And instead of thinking of ourselves, it's time to think of the one who already gave it all for us. When we serve, it's for Him. It's not for you. If I get something out of it, that's a blessing for being in the right place at the right time, doing things God's way. Thank you for that. I don't need it to obey you, to walk in faith, to follow after you. My heart is yours, 100%. Nothing else matters. When will we let go of the things of this world and walk in the faith of Jesus Christ and be difference makers? Instead of appeasers, or we're afraid to offend, or we're not sure how to say it, so we're not going to say it at all. Tell the person, you know, I'm not really sure I have all the words. I only know what happened in my life, and tell them. And let God lead you. We're called to a life of faith, ladies and gentlemen. Now be careful how you answer this question. How many of you want to live a life that pleases God? Be careful. Be careful. Because when you raise your hand, you say, I'm willing to pay the price. It's going to cost you. This isn't what's sold on TV. And I'm not going to sell books by putting this out, I promise you. But it's the truth, which I refuse to compromise. And this hits me too. I'm in there with you. I'm not just saying a one-way conversation. This really stinks both ways. But I'm tired of putting on a show and hoping God buys a ticket. When He tells me what He wants, I just need to say yes. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.